Amen.
That's such a good song.
Yes.
And it ties in very well with the lesson day, because today we're going to be talking about the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. And if there's one person that knows about the good and the bad, they'll be Jesus and they'll be Job. Because they know all about the good and the bad. We have Christ who left his prime position in heaven on the right hand of God to come here to this earth, knowing that what he had to go through before he came here, but didn't make it any easier. Still went about, he taught us, he washed the disciples' feet, he was among sinners, murderers, you know, thieves, people who wanted to take him out. You got preachers, you got teachers, you got lawyers, you got dignitaries. All these people were taught of Christ, but yet he still loved them, you know, all the same, even though they wanted to kill him. And, you know, he was told already, and he told his disciples that he was going to be crucified. He went through with it, and even on the cross, didn't even want to take painkillers, because he didn't want to make any excuses of easing his pain. Mm-hmm. You got to be crazy to go through all that. It's one thing doing it, but it's one thing knowing you got to go through it. And you still do it. If someone had told me I got to go through all that, how many people actually still go through it? Most of them wouldn't do it. In fact, nobody would do it. That's why he did
it. Amen.
You know? That's why he did it. Because he knew what nobody going to do. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I just found out yesterday that one of Davion's, you know, best friends growing up, Isaiah Dodge, one of Jackie's best friends. Jackie went to Cheyenne High School and graduated. Her friend Christine went to Cheyenne and graduated. Davion went to Cheyenne and graduated. And Isaiah went to Cheyenne and graduated. So they literally grew up together. He just held his right hand up yesterday. And he's going to the Navy. And, you know, she posted on social media about, you know, her having to let his hand go so he can go start his journey, not only to the Navy, but becoming a man. You know, because when you join the military, they want to transform you from a certain way of thinking so you can learn to think about the mission, but also, you know, you deserve develop a lot of interpersonal skills within yourself that you didn't know existed by going to the military. And you know, in a way, you know, she is leaving his care. You know, she raised him. You know, she was for the most part a single woman, and for her, she said, "This is really, really hard because I gotta let my baby go." The way she put it. "I gotta let my baby go." And she put pictures of her crying and, you know, him walking away and him doing the pledge. And, but it's necessary. She has to let him go. But he has to let her go. Both of them have to let go. That's the only way that he's gonna actually get on that bus to go to Fort Myers or Fort Wayne or wherever he's gonna go for his basic training. Without that process, there's no way. You know, how many of us love butterflies? We love butterflies, but guess what? Before a butterfly, you got that cocoon, you got that metamorphosis. Without change, there's no butterfly. Nobody praises the metamorphosis. Nobody praises that cocoon in that state because it's ugly. But when it comes out, it's a beautiful butterfly. Change must happen for order for some good things to happen. You know, and on the Beatitudes, where it says, "Blessed are the merciful, blessed are those who are, you know, lowly in spirit." You know, all those things is a transition. And when it comes to lives that we would say, you know, I'm going to say iniquity. I can't say this word right. It's not iniquity. It's, I can't say it right. It's almost spelled the same, but it's not. It's life's things that are unfair, not in iniquity, or something like that. I can't say it right. Sorry. I'm not those kind of person. All right, let's go to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse 4, all right? If some of us may have a memory of Job, of what happened to him. You know, Job was very wealthy from the land of Uz, and God blessed him tremendously. He was the richest man in his area. But, you know, God blessed him. But there's someone else who also knew how he was blessed, and that was Satan. All right? I'm going to start at verse 1. I was going to start at verse 4, but I might as well start at verse 1. Because the first attack is already over. You know, we're going to get to that in a second. The Bible says, chapter 2, verse 1, "And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." So obviously, Satan knows where God's people are going to be meeting. And like I said, Satan is not omnipresent. He ain't all places at once because he had to travel to get there. He's like, oh, you know, God and his people are going to be meeting up. I want to see what they're going to say. I already did damage once. Let's see if I can do it again. Let's see how much he's going to give me. Okay, so, and the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come from?" Basically, why are you here? There's no good you can do here. So let me know why you're here. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, walking back and forth onto it." Okay? Now, is that the truth? Is that really what Satan is doing? Yes and no. Yes, he's walking about. He's doing these things. But no, he's trying to find trouble wherever he can find it. And he's trying to stir up trouble wherever he can. Because he already had pleaded to God to let me touch his stuff. Now he's going to ask for more. So God knows forewarning of what he's coming here for. And so the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, blameless and upright man who fears the Lord and shuns evil. And it still holds fast his integrity, although you incite me against him to destroy him without cause." Listen to that part at the end. To destroy him without cause. Is that fair? Has there been people in your life to destroy you without cause? There's no meaning of it. And then we ask, why would someone do something like this? This is your answer right here. People do things without cause. They just do stuff. They just do stuff. The good and the bad. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life." So basically, look. Only reason why he's still holding his integrity is because you ain't let me touch him. Let me touch him and let's see how he is. "But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." He's like all the other ones. All of them are no good. Now I'm just here to prove it to you. I'm here to prove to you that this Job that you hold such in high regard is just like the others. Someone gets too close to your family, sooner or later he's going to react in a way that you don't want him to. And I'm here to make sure that happens. You already let me take away his kids. Let me do everything but take him out. And he said, Lord said to him, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from his sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd from which he scraped himself and sat in the midst of the ashes. And then his wife, Mrs. Job, said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." So basically, skin for skin worked for her. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it didn't even happen to her. Isn't it amazing how something can happen to somebody else, but yet you have an opinion on what happened to them that didn't happen to you? This didn't happen to you, but you have an opinion about me. It's almost like as soon as someone see you acting in a way that they think is not Christian-like, they want to say to me, "Christians ain't supposed to do that." I don't know if that happened to you, but it's happened to me, okay? Christians ain't supposed to be like that. Oh, so now you think I'm a Christian, okay? Now you think I'm a Christian. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. He didn't call her foolish. He didn't say she was foolish. You're speaking as. Okay? So shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversary? And all this and not he sinned with his lips. So he didn't sin in what he said. That is very, very important. Like I was saying earlier in the lesson with the blessings. Do we think or suppose that the things that didn't happen in our life the way we wanted it to, since it didn't happen, then it's not a blessing? But the things that do good happen in our life, guess what? We want to tell people about it. We want to post about it. We want to do all this stuff about it. Because what I wanted to happen happened. So that's a blessing. But this thing I wanted to happen, it didn't happen. So that's not a blessing. So I'm not going to post that. How about we just post out the blue? I'm in good health. I thank God for that. I was up for a promotion back in October. You know, I've been doing an interim director job since June at Nellis. And I thought I would be the pretty good candidate for the job. Talk to the director, the deputy director. Talk to my commander all the time. 99th FSS. They were raving about me at commander's calls, at staff meetings. I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking I got this job in the bag. I popped for it in October. I found out in December, the deputy director called me to his office, said, you were highly considered, but we went with somebody else. And I'm like, I've been doing the job since May. Ain't nobody else on base has the experience I have outside the person who used to be director is not in the department no more. And I know she didn't apply for it. Who else? Oh, they'll be here in a couple months. So is somebody else that's from another base. I told Jackie about this, and she gave me the best advice. She has said, you know, just because you didn't get it doesn't mean things are all bad. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? That may be the best thing for you, because look how hard you're working now. You're working harder than you did before you knew you were going to get the job. That's a blessing in itself. So I had to look for other things to fill that up. But thank God I had someone that was going to give me that kind of advice. Because at the time, I'm like, I thought I deserved it. But like I said, what do we really deserve? You know, I'm just blessed to be in a position where I can work. There's a lot of people out of work.
Amen.
A lot of people got bad health. A lot of people that I know got COVID 3-4 times. They're still here. Those people that got it once, they're no longer here. So we got to take this stuff very, very seriously. But and the things we think that are not, that we think is always a blessing because it's something I prayed about and it's something that happened. Imagine all the things that you didn't pray about that happened.
Mm-hmm.
What about those things? Mm-hmm. Are those things not praiseworthy? Do we not think about that stuff? Why do we have to imagine everything we think is a blessing that is a blessing? And everything that we imagine that didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen is not a blessing. Why do we do that? Just being amongst God's people, isn't that a blessing enough?
Mm-hmm.
Just having a sound mind and knowing that I'm as sober as I can be, isn't that enough? Mm-hmm. Having the privilege to read God's word when people in other countries cannot do so without being persecuted?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you travel, you realize that things are not as frequent as you think. Outside of the U.S. of A., even in Canada, there's certain things I can't preach about. They will shut me down or send me to jail. And then I'll be asking y'all to bail me out. Because I'm like, I spoke the truth. Okay? And it's crazy that we live in the world now that, you know, for a time, they will just ridicule you for telling the truth. Now they can send you to jail. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They can send you to jail. In other countries, it's been like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in North America, it has not been. Now it's starting to become that. All right? It's bad. All right? Let's go to Job chapter 1 and verse number 9. Satan comes and answered the Lord saying, does Job fear God for nothing? For you have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all he has on every side? You have blessed his hands and his work and possessions and increase in the land. But now stretch forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to his face. So he was doing some quid pro quo with Job, bargaining with Job, saying that, you know, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, tat for tat. And, you know, his retaliation, Satan has to keep his own skin intact, sacrifice for another person's skin. So basically, if you allow Job's stuff to be taken away, then he won't look at you as this great God that you are. And you already know how that went. Satan was surely mistaken. So Satan does not know everything. If he had known that Job was going to keep his integrity, he would let Job alone and went to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Satan is not all knowing. Like we think, he doesn't know everything. He still has to try things like we have to try stuff. He still has to figure things out. Now, does he know God's word? Absolutely. He knows God's word. All 66, every single letter, every tittle, every everything. He knows all of it. But guess what? Knowing God, knowing all of God's word does you nothing if you don't obey God's word. It doesn't do anything for you. If anything, it's going to give you a disservice because you're working against yourself. You look at yourself in the mirror and you can't even recognize who you are. Because the person you're supposed to be looks like Christ. That's who you're supposed to be. All right. Luke chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Luke 13. And this is another example that shows that, you know, because this happened to me, because that happened to me, this is where, you know, Jesus put things in perspective of he puts in perspective where our lives need to be. And I need to hear this like everybody else. So I had to put this in here. I need to put this in there. All right. Luke 13, 1 through 8. It says, there are present. At that season, some that told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or the 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that there were worse sinners than others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So it don't matter how a person leaves this life. All that matters is the condition they leave it in. You can get all you can get, and by all means, get it. God is not the kind of God that doesn't want you to be rich. He's not the kind of God that wants you to have things. He wants you to have it all. But he wants you to delight in him while you have it all. Amen. That's the difference. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. But he doesn't want you to have your heart's desires without being in him, because you're going to lose your mind trying to get it. He doesn't want you to lose your mind. Because when you lose your mind, guess what you're surely going to lose after that? You're going to lose that one thing you own. And that's your soul. Satan don't want all your stuff. He wants your mind. He wants your soul. Because once he got that, he got all your stuff. He got all that already. All right? He says, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. All right. What happens when you get a Bible that's not broken in? The pages skip. My other Bible I had was old. I love that Bible. It had everything in it. I mean, it just almost could read my mind. That's exactly where I wanted to be. Everything highlighted exactly where I want it. But it's broken up and falling apart. Got this new one. I love it, but it ain't broken in yet. You know, when you got some old Bibles, it's better material. These these new ones, I don't know. All right, I'm going to start at verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? The good and the bad. Without the crucifixion, there is no celebration. None of us could take his place.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he didn't want to. He didn't want anyone to take his place. You know, God saved Isaac from being, because Abraham was ready. He spared Isaac. He spared David. He spared Moses, Isaiah. Did you know he spared all the prophets? He spared them all. But guess what? When John came on the scene, he allowed John to be beheaded. Mm-hmm. He allowed that to happen. He allowed his son to suffer all those things. Just even because John was associated with Jesus and he's the one of the prophets that actually saw him alive. God allowed John to be beheaded. He even shared with that suffering. Isn't that crazy? But the other prophets in the Old Testament, they didn't. When they died, they died. They didn't. God didn't allow them to suffer such things. But then you have Christ here, who was the one that was already foretold in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And he said that, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put an adversary, I'm gonna put an enemy there. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Between her child and your child. So basically, when Eve had her first child, she was so happy. I've gotten a man from the Lord. And guess whose child she thought that was? She thought that was the righteous seed. And guess who wound up being? The world's firstborn and also the world's first murderer. It wasn't God's child. It was the other one. It wasn't until hundreds of years later when then Adam and Eve finally had Seth is when God's righteous line and lineage started. Then men started calling upon the name of the Lord. This is the crazy part. You know who's the one who should have been calling upon the name of the Lord first? And you never, ever hear him say it throughout the whole time he was alive. Adam. You never read where Adam called upon the name of the Lord. It wasn't until Seth was born before man called upon the name of the Lord. This was hundreds of years later. Why do I say that? Because of what it says here in Romans 5. It says here, God commended the Lord towards us while we're yet sinners. He died for us. It says, much more than having been justified by his own blood, how shall we be saved from the wrath through him? For if we were once enemies and we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, have we saved by his life? So what he's saying here is, by God's grace, he spared us. Before I obeyed the gospel, I was in wrong with God. This was not a good thing. He spared my life with his grace until I was 24. Until I was able to be baptized and was taught the truth. He spared me until the end. Imagine if I would have been taken out before that. He could allow that to happen. But he didn't do it. Some people obey to God so much later in life, and some much younger. But I didn't know about the church until I moved here to Vegas. But he's saying, how much more will he do for us now that we have been saved? So basically, you got more working for you since you have been baptized versus before. So why do we have such less confidence where we're going when God should have, he given us more confidence, but he's going to help us through whatever we're going to get what we're trying to go to. Does that make sense? You should be way more confident than before. You have way more help now.
Yep.
Now you're his child. What wouldn't a good father and a good big brother not want to do to save you? What wouldn't they want to do? Mm-hmm. So whatever bad is going on, there's way more good that's going on. There is no way in your life where things will ever get so bad to where God's grace would not overly supersede that. Because God's grace, God will never leave you where his grace cannot keep you. He will never do that. Was John beheaded? Yes, he was. But guess what? He already knew where he was going. Before it happened, he was prophesying while it was happening. What did Jesus say while he was on the cross? Even when he was on the cross, even though he was going through all of that stuff, he still had someone by his side that believed in him. Even though he had people right underneath that didn't. And he said, hey, if you really be the Son of God, save us and yourself. And then this other man saying, shut your mouth. This man didn't do nothing wrong. Basically, we deserve what we got. This man didn't do nothing wrong. And he turned to him and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The only way that man can say something like that, he had to hear about the kingdom. He had to be around Christ at some point. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He heard about the church. What bad is going on? The man is being crucified. There were nails being driven through his feet. Nails driven through his hands. Where it says, our bruises heal. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about your heel bone that's connected to your feet. It was prophesying that way back in Genesis on how Christ was going to die. It was already being talked about. And yet, while he was on the cross going through a horrible thing, there was a good thing happening. What's the good thing? I have the opportunity to tell you about the good news of Christ. That's one good thing. That was a man that was saved right there on the cross. And then you have people that come to me and says, well, you know, I'm going to be like the thief on the cross. I'm like, you don't want to do that. You know, on that day, maybe you would have been saved. That day has long, long passed. So Jesus was teaching a lesson even through his suffering. Amen. How many of us can teach a lesson while we're going through something? There are so many people that Jackie works with that have, they have autism. They have special needs. And every single day, this is a real moment for her because the way they see life is so simple. They don't complicate life. They don't complicate it. We have all our faculties together. God has not put that on us. You know, in order for you to be born healthy without all those things, you know what the odds of that is? It's like 1 in 1 billion. Would he be born with no deficiencies? Isn't that crazy? Because of all the people that's born, everything, that's 1 in 1 billion that you're born the way you're born. Like I said, there's way more good going for you than things that are going bad, all right? And let's go to Luke real quick, chapter 9. And we're going to read verse 23, and the lesson is yours. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 23. All right. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And the Bible says, Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You have to follow the king. In order for you to follow the king, You have to reject yourself as king. We're not the king. You have to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. You have to know you're not the king. Okay? I got to say that again. I'm not the king. You're not the king. There are so many people in the church that think they're the king. And that's why they can never get to the next point in their life. You're not the king. You have to deny yourself as king and recognize that Christ as king. And you have to humbly follow him daily in a life of sacrifice for him and a love for your neighbor. The crucifixion declares the basis of hope. Men do not have eternal life while living upon this earth. Your eternal life is somewhere else. That's why Jesus said, if this was my kingdom, my people would fight for me. Y'all ain't fighting for me. You let me be crucified. Y'all sit in Moses' seat and in the same breath say, crucify him, crucify him. Moses would never do that. Abraham would never do that. Y'all proclaim to be Abraham's seed. When he saw me, he blessed me. He was 100 years old running to get sheep, running here, running there, making the best food possible. When he saw me, he made a picnic for me. When you saw me, you wanted to kill me. And because of that, I love you. And because of that, I love you. Because you need saving. Because you need saving. You got to reject yourself. All right? The first part of rejecting yourself is hearing God's word. Amen. All right? Romans 10:17. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to hear the gospel. Why did God choose hearing in the words of obeying the gospel? Did you know that your ears is your fastest sense? You can hear things way before you can see them. So he chose that to be the way of us hearing the gospel. That means that he wants us to believe this thing when we hear it. Okay, he used that sense. All right, then we must believe God's word. You must believe God's word. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarder who diligently seek him. That means you got to seek him with all your heart, with everything you got. Notice what I said. You have to seek him. He's not going to seek you. He's not going to come to you. You have to come to him. Remember, you're seeking a king. A king does not get up off his throne and come to you. He already did that. You got to come to him. And then you must repent. God is not slacking his promise as though man count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. Repentance means a change of mind that results in a change of action. Like I said, you must recognize that Christ is king. By doing so, you're going to confess him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, it says that if you confess me before my Father which is in heaven, I will also confess you. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father which is in heaven. You have to acknowledge in public that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because in doing so, this brought death to Christ. Because they asked him, are you the Son of the Blessed? He could not deny himself. He said, I am. And so doing so, well, do we need any more witnesses? I have heard all the blasphemies. Take him away. And they took him away to be crucified because he acknowledged that he was the Son of God. Because he is. But in doing so, you must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. So they came to Peter, the rest of the disciples, and said, men and brother, we must be due. And Peter said to him, repent and be baptized, all of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is unto you, and that all that will listen. You must be baptized in order to be saved. Mark 16:16, the Bible says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, why would Jesus say that? Well, if you don't believe, then you're not qualified to be baptized. Mm-hmm. That's why. If you don't believe this, why would I walk? Why would I do that? So yes, if you don't believe, you can't even get to baptism. But does anyone today that want to acknowledge that Christ is King?
Sorry.
They can do that right now as we stand and sing the Savior's invitation song.